Let's begin. We were learning this morning about Mesiras Nefesh B'mitzvahs, and I didn't want to pass this up because there are some important sugyas that really branch off of this sugya. I can't do any of them in an exhaustive way at all, but just really make some ha'aras along the way, some interesting raid and chakiras to keep in mind as we move forward. And I thought it's also interesting because the mitzvah of tefillin is very much connected to the mitzvah of bris milah, and we'll explain at the end how that is. So the Gemara already on Daf Kuf Lamed makes a contrast between tefillin and Mila. It says Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Kol Mitzvah Shemasu Yisrael Atzman Alem. Any mitzvah that Klal Yisrael was Moser Nefesh Lemisa B'Shas Kzeiros HaMelech Kegon Avodas Kochavim U'Mila. So Avodah Zarah and Mila, they are both Moser Nefesh. Adayin Him Muchzek Es B'Yadam. It's still very strong, and they very much are committed to these two mitzvahs. B'Chol Mitzvah Shelamasu Yisrael Atzman Alem Lemisa. Those mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael have never been Moser Nefesh as a tzibur, so then B'Shas Gzeres HaMelech Kegon Tefillin Adayin Him Rupa B'Yadam. It's still very, very weak. Now, it's hard for us to imagine this, because at least amongst our circles, everyone is very, very makbid on wearing tefillin, but this was once upon a time not so strong. And there's an interesting machlokas Rashi tells us. I don't know if you saw this, but Rashi says that only Elisha, as the Gemara goes on to explain, only Elisha was the one who was Moser Nefesh, no one else was. But Tosas writes in the very bottom Tosfos, he says, Amrle Kanfe Yona, Hare Shalom Maser Atzmo, Lomar Tfilin Hain, that they weren't Moser Nefesh, and it seems that even Elisha wasn't Moser Nefesh. He hid them. He said, he denied that they were Tfilin. He says, they were the wings there to Yona that needs to fly away. So even Elisha wasn't Moser Nefesh. As opposed to Rashi, that no, Elisha was, but everyone else was not. The Rashba says that there were few people who were, not only Elisha, he says, Mu'atim, there were few who were regularly wearing tefillin, but most were not. Yeah, John.
Would you be chayiv, even if you're going to do the mitzvah when they're telling you not to, would you be chayiv to dafka say that I'm doing it and I should die for it?
Say that one more time.
So even if Elisha, meaning the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, even if Elisha was being Moser Nefesh to do the mitzvah in the shuk, isn't it a chiddush to say that we would even, that he would go ahead and say, I'm doing the mitzvah, please kill me?
Right. That lechor is the machlokas between Rashi and Tosas, I think. I think it's a great point that, you know, you're doing a mitzvah, so you could say something else. You could say whatever, lulav and esog, I'm just smelling flowers to bring home to my wife, or whatever it might be. So there are ways around to manipulate it. That might be the machlokas, where Rashi says, no, you're allowed to deny that they're mitzvahs as long as you're fulfilling the mitzvah. And Tosas says, no, it's not enough to just fulfill a mitzvah, it's enough to actually say it to the face and stand up and say it to mitzvah. So I think that point is exactly what the machlokas is.
Can you say that Tosas is agreeing, but it's not a level of... There was still a higher level of Mesiras Nefesh available?
See,
at least Elisha Bakhtin was still the only one who would even wear it. Just he wasn't going as far as to say this is tefillin.
Yeah, you could say that as well. He was Moser Nefesh to a certain extent, but there maybe are different levels of Mesiras Nefesh. You know, I think John was pointing out before, there's Malchus and there's Yisurim and there's Misa, the different ways a person can be Moser Nefesh. Maybe he didn't reach the highest level of standing up strong and saying and stating to them that they in fact were tefillin. So that I think that's a very interesting point to discuss. So let's go now weiter in the Rishonim about the differences of why they were not Moser Nefesh. Why was Klal Yisrael not Moser Nefesh? We know it's Shas Shmad. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us by Kasa de Masane that you can't even change the shoelaces or the shoes. Machlokas Rashi Tos in Sanhedrin, what exactly that, how do you define that, the shoes or the shoelaces, and what that problem is. But there's a very subtle machlokas that is taking place here between the Rishonim, and I wanted to touch upon each aspect. So it's important to know in organizing, you know, the reason why Bavli is so hard is because there's so many sugyas coming together. So it's very important to be able to organize different topics. So within this particular question in Rishonim, there are three sugyas taking place here. One is the halachas of Mesiras Nefesh. Number two is how to define the mitzvah of tefillin. And number three is how to define the mitzvah of chukas akum. Those are three mitzvahs that are being discussed, three sugyas at play here. So I want to discuss each one separately. So let's first talk about how far does one have to go, b'shas shmad, to be Moser Nefesh. So it's very clear in the Ritva in Shabbos Kuf Lamed that he says one only has to violate a lo saseh in order to be Moser Nefesh, to stand strong against a lo saseh. You cannot do a lo saseh if you're Moser Nefesh to avoid a lo saseh. But mitzvah saseh, a person's allowed to be mevatel and aseh for saving one's life. There is no Mesiris Nefesh by Mitzvah Zase, because you didn't do anything. It's what the Gemara says, Karka Olam, it's passive. So being Mevatel Nase, not wearing tefillin, not wearing tittus, not shaking lulav, that's passive. You could be Mevatel Nase, you don't have to be Moser Nefesh. That's the Shita of the Ritva. However, the other Rishonim hold that the Ritva in Shabbos Daf Memtes, he says, no, a normal Bittul Aseh would be a problem. You would have to be Moser Nefesh, even for Mitzvah Aseh. It's just that tefillin is unique, that all you have to do is to be Yotzei in the Mitzvah tefillin is just wear it for just one moment. Right? His lashon is that the tefillin, the chiv Torah, ain't ela b'shah shemekabel alav ol malchut shemayim, that in one moment. But laniach kol hayom, that's midas chasidus. V'chevin shekein lo haya yachal limtzer atzma aleim al shahayom. And therefore, the rest of the day, there is no obligation to fulfill this mitzvah. So, but another mitzvah, that would be a chiv all day long. Let's say you were told to eat outside the sukkah. So that's mevatel aseh. So, l'chor, according to this second ritva on daf memtes, one would have to give up their life for mitzvah aseh. The ritva would say, kuf lamed, would say you don't have to. Mitzvah aseh are not subject to mitzvah nefesh. So that's a machlokas 2 days in the ritva, the daf memtes versus daf kuf lamed, whether a mitzvah aseh is subject to mitzvah nefesh. It's just that tefillin is unique. You're able to say just with one wearing of the tefillin. A similar model to this would be lulav and esrog. Right, the Gemara in Sukkah is talking about how to say the bracha of the Netiyas Lulav. We know there's a klal the Gemara tells us in Sukkah in Pesachim Daf Zayim over l'siyasa. The birchas mitzvah is always over l'siyasa. You have to say the mitzvah, the bracha before the mitzvah. So that's why many have the custom to say leishev and then sit down in leishev Sukkah. Tzitzis, you say the bracha and then put tzitzis on. Tefillin, you say the bracha then you tighten the tefillin. So without lulav, the second you pick up the lulav, that the mitzvah is over. It's done. You go to the mitzvah. So there are different etzas, no kavana, the esog is upside down, which is the most common one, have it right in front of you, which is not the best, but there are different etzas. But what's clear from that Gemara is, the moment you pick up the lulav, the mitzvah is over. So let's say they say to you, you're holding the lulav and esog, they say, drop the lulav esog, or we're going to kill you. So the lacha is that everyone would agree that you drop the lulav, because even if you hold normally that mitzvah say is subject to bitalat to mesiras nefesh, if it's a mitzvah that you already fulfill a mitzvah once, and any additional mitzvahs are mitzvahs chasidus or hither, then you don't have to be moser nefesh. Another example would be matzah. Achilas matzah, we know, is only a mitzvah chiyuva on the first night. The rest of the first kazayis, the first two kazayisim, but all the additional achilas is only a kim, it's a hider, it's their gross is the key mitzvah each time. But that, once you had your first kazayis, and they told you, put a gun to your head, l'chor, you would not have to be moser nefesh, because you already fulfilled the mitzvah once, and anything additional is just midas chasidus, or kiyum mitzvahs, or whatever you want to call it. Okay. So that, again, what comes out from this, again, is the machlokas between these 2 days and the ritva, whether one, a person has to be mechayiv, whether a person's chayiv in misiyas nefesh, on a mitzvah aseh, or not. That's the basic yisur. Second point that comes out from this discussion is, what is the chiyuv of wearing tefillin? How much should a person be wearing his tefillin, all day or not? And this is, I assume you saw this all in the Prima Gadim and the Berlacha, but we'll go through it together anyways. And the Mechaber writes his language in Hilchos Tefillin is, Mitzvasan l'hiyosim alav kol hayom. The mitzvah is to wear tefillin all day long, aval mipnei shetzrichan gufanaki, because a person has to have a clean body, he has a hard time holding his bowels, he has a hard time holding his das in kavana. Ein kol adam yachal lizar bem, people can't be careful about this. And noagu shlo lahanicham kol yom, the practice is not to. Mikol makom, kol adam tzarech kol adam lizar bem liyosam olav b'shas kriyashma tefillah, at least during those times. A person has eino gufnaki, or he can't pay attention, so then you're not chayiv to wear all day. So how do you learn this? Is this to say there's a chiv all day long, but nowadays we don't have the ability? Or no, there was never a chiv. It was a mitzvah. It was an idea. It was a good suggestion. In the way the Prima Gadim, he quotes a lashon of lishtadel. Lishtadel means it's a good thing. Try to do it. But it's not a chiv. That we've discussed before. Now, Eitan's been to this year. And suddenly we discussed minyan, davening b'tzibur. So the Mechaber writes, a person should be meshtadel. Adam should be meshtadel to daven in a minyan. But that's not a chiv. It's a nice thing. We try to do this. Right, Rav Moshe says, no, it really means a chiv. It really means Rav Moshe thinks it's a real chiv. I'm not discounting Rav Moshe, but that's a machlokas. Leshtadel means chiv, or it means try really hard, but it's not really a chiv. Yeah.
Can we say from the fact that it says, we call welcome Tzarech, call them about Kriya Shema and Tefillah, that that would be the chiv, and other, and everything else would just be.
Yeah, you definitely can say that when he says tzarech, that tzarech, everyone agrees the bare minimum is to wear b'shas kabbalas ol machlis shemaim. That's certainly the chiv. The question is everything beyond that. Nowadays we don't practice to wear it all day long. At least most people don't. But back then, before we had these issues, was it also chiv the whole day? Or that was just a kin that they're able to do? Like the Gemara says, Anshe Yushalayim used to walk around all day with a lulav and esok. They didn't have to. There's no chiv. But there's a kin. So do it, to wear tefillin all day long. It's a kima mitzvah to do it, but there is no obligation. So that's the suffix of the...
It's a chiv to wear, you're not the kind that it's if you just put on tefillin.
What do you mean?
Without krishna and
tefillin. So you still get the mitzvah, eirachanam, you still get the mitzvah.
Right.
But the ideal time is to say it while saying shema, and also hopefully shema esrei as well, if you're able to wear it for that long. But you would still get the mitzvah without that part, right. because the more problem is really... When a person says Shema without tefillin, is more a problem than a person wearing tefillin without Shema. Because if you say Shema and say Kshar Tam Leos and you're not wearing tefillin, it's Eidus Sheker. That's a problem. But you are correct that you could still get the mitzvah without saying Shema as well.
Based on that, just two questions. Let's say a person for some reason misses tefillin in the morning. Should that mincha tefillin up? Just to make sure that they get, they'll say Shema with it on, and also they'll daven Shema
Esrei. So there is such an inyan to do so. But it ends up looking funny sometimes in shuls.
Right.
There had been an issue once in YU, a person wore tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. He wore tefillin in the morning, but he wore Rabbeinu Tam tefillin in the mincha. And Mishnah Berurah says it's yura to do such a thing. If you live in a community where they don't wear tefillin in mincha, so it's yura to do that. And Rav Shechter was very machped with that, he now wore tefillin. Rav Nevensal, he was, I think, Nativ Ari boy, Rav Nevensal didn't think it was yura, and therefore he should. So it became a clash of two big poskim. It was in the base measure of Rav Shechter. So I don't know what happened in the end. So now a person, let's say, didn't have tefillin in the morning and he wears it in the afternoon. Sometimes you see people walking in and stuff. I think it ends up looking funny. So it's probably best not to. I don't know if it's better to wear tefillin b'yichidus and damincha that way or b'tzibur without tefillin. I think it's a very good question. But I think it's dieting, the sensitivity, because people, you don't want people talking. You want to do things that are going to get people to talk about you. And it's not a good thing. So even though you might be doing the right thing. So sometimes you have to weigh these different factors in.
And let's say a person's rabbi tells them that this is what you do, even if people are going to say something.
Right.
You have a mitzvah to, if he's your, just based on what we had last week, he's your rabbi, and right. That's what he tells you.
Yeah. There's also a concept of minhag makom. You know, the Shulchan Aruch does say in the beginning of Or Chaim that a person should do things even if they're making fun of him. So you have to figure out what you have to weigh the different factors. Sometimes people do things that are maybe correct, but people find it to be funny. That could create a terrible chil Hashem.
Right.
So there's no one answer. It requires oftentimes like a chachma, figuring out what the best way to accomplish this. Daven in a place where people make fun of you. Don't daven in the base medrash where everyone's going to look at you. Daven in the small, let's say, in YU, the small Sephardi, yeah, sure, where they do their own things anyways. Everything's funny there. For the Ashkenaz, no offense, but I'm saying, they're saying, you know, they're blowing show for the mincha afternoon or whatever they're doing. So like wearing tefillin won't be a big deal for them. So you have to just think of an eitzah, how to get around if you want to accomplish both. But to wear a daven in like a place where everyone's going to see and start talking, it doesn't do good for anyone. La niyas tariti. Okay, so either way, we come from this. So this is an interesting machlokes, or suffik, whether or not there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin all day long or not. And Pirmei Gadlan has a suffik, and then he goes on to go back and forth. In the Be'er Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah brings a number of opinions that say that the mitzvah is all day long. He quotes Yeshuas Yaakov. Just as an aside, I'll tell you a great story about Yeshuas Yaakov, just because it's a great story. And I'm sure you guys love stories. So Yeshuas Yaakov, he... It was a ma'aseh with tefillin, that's why I'm mentioning it. So he lived in Poland. I forget which city already. And I said this in shul once, so you may have heard this, Eitan. So the president of Poland wanted to come visit Yeshua Yaakov's shul. And it was known all the shuls had a very good relationship with the president. And they had a picture of the president in the lobby of each of the shuls. So in preparation for the big coming of the president, so they wanted to paint the walls and clean the carpet and fix everything up. So they turned the painting of the president around so they wouldn't ruin it as they painted the walls. And they were very busy, and finally the day came, the president showed up. He walked in and they immediately noticed that they forgot to turn the picture back around. And the president saw his picture turned backwards. And Yeshua Yaakov said, "Mr. President, I see you're bothered by what you see right now. Let me explain what's going on, why we turned your picture around." He says, "You see, we have a mitzvah in the Torah called tefillin. Every single day we wear tefillin. On Shabbos we don't wear tefillin though. Why? Because during the week, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels very far from us. So we do mitzvahs of tefillin to remind us of Hashem. But on Shabbos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes so close to us, we don't need the reminder of Hashem anymore. So you, Mr. President, all year round, you're far away, you're in the capital, so we need a reminder of who you are. When you show up to our shul, we don't need a picture of you anymore. We have you, so we turn the picture around." So it connects to the Gemara Nida that talks about L'asa lavo kol mitzvos mevatlos, that in the future all mitzvos are going to be batal. Why are they going to be batal? Because in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be so close to us, we don't need the mitzvahs to connect anymore. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels far. We don't feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unfortunately. So we wear tefillin and other mitzvahs to remind us Hashem's with us. But Lasa Lavo, the Shekhinah is going to be so clear to us, we won't need mitzvahs anymore. That's the idea. So either way, the Be'er Halacha brings all these different poskim that say that the practice really is that ideally one should wear tefillin all day long. And he quoted from the Ma'aser Rav, from the Gra, that a person's choshesh lihura, so then the people are going to make fun of him, they're going to think he's a Baal Gaiva, he's better than anybody else. So then he's allowed to wear just the vishal yad, the tefillin shel yad alone, and hide it underneath his shirt and his jacket. But the Mishnah Berurah ends, mikol makom tov la'asel sharosh katan. Still, also what you should do is make a tefillin sharosh small as well, and make the ritzus in such a way that they're covered up, and no one even knows you're wearing them. Actually, this is all from the Gra, rather. You should do it in such a way that you should wear tefillin all day long, says the Gra, but just wear it so no one should notice it. And the Mishnah Berurah concludes, the Ashriya Mekayim Kedino, the statement of Chazal, that they asked the Talmud of Talmud of Asher Bezera, the Maharachti Yamim, and he says, Halachti lo halachti dal amos below Torah, u below tefillin. So this is how the Be'er Halacha comes out, that one should, if a person has a guf naki, and it's not Mesiach Daito, he should wear tefillin all day long, but wear it in such a way where it's not going to create people making fun of him. Now, the issue is, the clear from the Ritva, at least in the Ritva and Daf Mem Tes, that he paskin not this way. He said that there was not a mitzvah to wear tefillin all day. The mitzvah is only, the chiv is only to be makabal o mocha shemayim with tefillin, but the rest of the day is simply a midas chasidus. That's also a very good raya.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, very good raya.
Maybe you could say that the mila that Rav Zera was that he was able to be shown as good. He had a guf naki where most people didn't.
Right, it could be that. Fulfilling the chiyuv. But sure, in Echanami. And you could even say with the Ma'aser Rav, even the Ma'aser Rav understood it to be midas chasidus as well.
Right.
But still, if you could accomplish that midas chasidus, it would take you a long way. Yeah.
You could say, I don't know, but you could say it's Medidik in the Gemara that you've seen by Elisha Baal Knafayim. He only went after the tefillin shel Rosh. It says specifically that he saw the tefillin on his head and he ran and he took the...
And therefore what, yeah?
But it doesn't mention the tefillin shel Yad. You could say we learn from that there was an issue with the tefillin shel Yad. Maybe it's like the thing that says, but if you can... Wear it in the way that's hidden, as much as you
Well, Einach Hanami, the tefillin shayad, should be covered anyways. So it's not hard to, Lechori, he was wearing tefillin shayad, he couldn't see it. He just probably didn't have wrapped around the hand in such a way. I'll say it. Some high school kids, they'll do the opposite. They'll wrap it around the hand and not wear the tefillin shayad, so the teachers won't know. I've seen this firsthand growing up. Lechora, Elisha just wore the tefillin shayad on the arm and didn't wrap it on the hand so he couldn't see it. This part's not ma'akev, the mitzvah at all. So, so that's with regards to the mitzvah of a tefillin, whether, again, the chiv derais is all day, or the chiv is simply just makaba al mechus shemayim. Now another, just a similar model to this type of mitzvah, of whether there's a mitzvah just once a day or maybe twice a day versus all day long, is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Yigisa b'yomim v'layla, this big machlokas, the Ran in Nedarim and others, whether that mitzvah is just once a day, once in the morning, and once in the evening, and a yotzi achiv, look at the rod in the Dharma, I think it's daf zayin or daf ches, I don't remember. Or there's a chiv all day long to do it, but sometimes you have to work and you have to make a parnasa, you have to do other things. But the chiv really does exist all day long. This is a similar chakir that exists by the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, just came to mind, just on that point of working and learning all day long versus working, there's just a fascinating Yushalmi. Tosus in Psachim, Daf Nun, quotes this Tosus. The Gemara in Psachim, the beginning of the fifth parak, Makum Shenogu, says that on Erev Pesach, there's an Issa to do Melacha. So why is there an Issa to do Melacha on Erev Pesach? So Rashi writes, because it's you're busy B'dikas Chametz, Biru Chametz, Fias Matzahs, and everything else. There's no time to do work. So if you're allowed to do work and go clean your, garden in your backyard and go make money, you won't be able to do Biru Chametz, B'dikas Chametz, Fias Matzahs. Tosus there writes, no, that's not the reason why. Tosus is the reason why you don't do Melacha on Erev Pesach is because it's the day you bring a carbon. The carbon Pesach is brought Erev Pesach. And the Gemara in Tanya has proved to us the day a person brings a carbon is a Yontif. It's a Yontif. And one of the rise is actually from this, the way the calendar works out, the Gemara in Tanya says that the day different families would dedicate wood to the base of Mikdash, and they had a set date that this family would go this day of the year and this family this day of the year. So the 10th of Av was a certain family to dedicate wood. And it was a yontif for them. So what happens if it falls out where Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, so you don't fast, and Tisha B'Av, you push it off, it's nidcha to a Sunday. So the 10th of Av, like this year, is going to be celebrated, or we're going to practice the halachas of Tisha B'Av. So what would this family do? It's a day they brought the Eitzim to the Beis Hamikdash. It was a yontif for them. So Gemara talks about them not fasting. So that's one of the rais, that a day a person makes a dedication to the Beis Hamikdash, whether it be firewood, whether it be a carbon, that becomes a yontif. The Tosus there writes in Psachim, that since the Erev Pesach we bring in Karim Pesach, it's a Yantif, a Miksas Yantif, and therefore it's an Issa Malacha. So he says, in fact, the Yushalmi said there's a Havamina that every single day of the year it should be us to do Malacha, because we bring a carbon Tamid every single day of the year. And we all, carbon Tamid, it's a carbon Tzibur. And we all give Machz a Shekel, so we all have a Chelek in that carbon. So it means it's a Yantif for every single Jew on every single day of the year because a carbon Tamid is brought. That's what the Yushalmi says. And the Gemara said, Yushami answers, well, since it says Vasafta Diganecha, that you have to collect, well, if it's an Issa Malacha every single day, how do you fulfill that mitzvah, at least the Pasuk, Vasafta Diganecha, and therefore it must be that you're allowed to work. So here's well, even though, according to some Rishonim, there's a Chiv of Talmud Torah all day long, V'Yigisa Yom HaVayla, there still is the Torah tells us, Vasafta Diganecha, you have to still work and make money and balance the two out and see if you could accomplish the best. Some people could be like Eitan and work a little bit and learn a little bit. Some people could learn all day long. Some people have to work all day long. Whatever the combinations, there are different grades of what a person has to do. But either way, this is just another example of a mitzvah where there's a suffix, whether it's just once a day or to be learning all day long. Okay, now let's move to the... So we touched upon Mesiras Nefesh. We touched upon Mitzvah Tefillin, how it comes up here. As a side point, it's important to know the Shita of the Rambam in general. I'm not going to discuss this at great length. But if a person is given the option of Yagra Yavor on one of the non-three mitzvahs, you know the big three of Eros, right? Shvichas Damim, Vodazara, Gilarayos, one has to give their life up. The other mitzvahs, a person does not have to give up their life. But what if a person chooses to give up their life? Not a Shas Shemad. Person's told to wear, take off the tefillin or to, let's say, eat chametz on Pesach. So does he have to give up his life or not? He doesn't have to give up his life. But what if he wants to give up his life anyway? So you're allowed to. So most Yishonim say you're allowed to. You fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem by giving up your life for any mitzvah. You just don't have to. The Rambam writes clearly that if a person does give up their life in these other mitzvahs, he's actually mischai v'nafsho. Now what that means, he's already dead. In mace, the law of our, how that works, I'm not sure. But he's not allowed to give up your life for other types of mitzvahs, while all the other Rishonim in our sugi here say that you're allowed to. Right? Elisha was allowed to be Moser Nefesh. Atzfilin isn't one of the big three. You're allowed to, if you wanted to, you could be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, nonetheless. So that's a big machlokas Rambam versus all the other Rishonim. Let's finish off now with the other. I'm sorry about all these different ha'aras, but I couldn't ignore it. That the final discussion is Chukas Akum. So there's a very interesting machlokas in the Rishonim here on our sugya. how to categorize the Isser of Chukas Akum. So you have the Tosos in on Daf Nemtes versus the other Rishonim. The Ritva, and this is Daf Kuvlam, the Ritva, this is source number one, he called it a low sase, just a regular low sase. There's a lav to do a lot of things, a lav to, I don't know, to do kalayim, there's a lav of Chukas Akum, it's just a regular lav. But if you look at the language of Tosfos and Daf Memtes, it wasn't just stam alav. The Tosfos writes, and Daf Memtes again, that the Bishinoi Arkasa, a person changes his shoes or his shoelaces, he's misnaheg ke'oved kochavim, v'dome shemotzi atma mechlal Yisrael. He's removing himself from the parsha of a yid by doing Chukas Akum. It's not just stam a mitzvah, stam a lav. This is a very serious lav. It's like a person who's mefer bris. He's trying to undo his bris milah. That's a person being ochre the entire kol haTorah kula. So this is a very big nafkmin, according to this Tosfos. Because when the Gemara tells us that in Sanhedrin, a person has to be moser nefesh b'shas shmad, afilu arkasa de mesana, well, it's not just any lav anymore. It's not just a mitzvah kala. According to Tosfos, it's only a mitzvah that a person is trying to mimedam himself to a goy, only a very serious mitzvah. You could say, tzitzis, for example, just throwing out an example, tzitzis is shkula kekola terakula. Only very serious mitzvahs. But stam alav of, I don't know, planting klayim, according to this reading of Tosfos, wouldn't be subject to the lachas of Mesiris Nefesh, afil b'shas shmad. So this categorization of Tosfos is very, very important. It's not just stam alav again, it's about being medam a person, or really a person who's a Oker himself, he's motzi atmo michlal yisro. That seems to be the language of the Rambam as well. If you look at the Rambam in number 8, if those who did get a chance to see him yet, the Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Alef, Halacha Gimel, says that Yisrael shayakarv lemalchus v'tzarech leishiv lefnei malchayim. It's that a person is very high up in the government, a Jew's high up in government, and they had a certain way that they had to appear and present themselves in their haircuts. V'hayulu ganai, lefi shelo yidma lehen, harezem mutter lilbosh b'malbushem ulegalea keneged panav kederach shenosim. You could get their haircuts and wear their clothing. Now why is that allowed? So the reason is because the Achronim explain, if the whole tam, the whole idea of Chukas Akum is because you're being motzi atzmo michla Yisrael. If that's the kavana, only when that's the kavana is it aser. But if your kavana is to for shal malchus, your kavana is to help Kla Yisrael, so then that won't be considered being motzi atzmo michla Yisrael. So this Rambam learned like Tosfos that the nature of Chukas Akum is dafka to be medame itself or being motzi atzmo michla Yisrael. But whenever there's another, there's an alternative reason, then you'd be allowed to violate Chukas Akum. Yeah.
Do you need to have that kavana?
I think the simple understanding of the Rambam is only when the stam understanding is it's being medama yourself, motzi atmo, but when there's a reason to say you're not doing it for that reason, right, then it would be acceptable.
Stam without any kavana.
Exactly. I think stam das would be, yeah, I think so.
The lesson of the Rambam is
right, that's why it's a gnai. You don't want to look like them.
Right, it's a gnai because you don't look like them. Meaning the reason why you're doing it is to conform.
Right, so the Rambam elsewhere, I believe somewhere else, he says elsewhere that the nature of the mitzvah, the isser chukas akum, is because you're looking like them. But and since in this case, if you don't look like them, it's going to be bad. You won't be very successful in your malchus because not looking like them, in their eyes, is considered a gnai, and they won't accept you in the government. They won't accept your arguments and won't help us at all. And therefore, you'd be allowed to look like them since your kavanah is to help out in terms of malchus. But that's only because you need the kavanah. Normally, the kavanah is to be medama to them. Here, your kavanah is not to be medama to them.
But that's
not what your goal is. You have to do that to make them happy. But your goal isn't to be medama. Your goal is to help with malchus. Uh-huh. But in order to get there, you need to be medama to them. But that's not your goal. That's just a way to get there. So therefore, when your kavanah is not to be medama to them, that's not your ikar kavanah. So then you're allowed to.
So people just in general, meaning they try to look like the guy because they thought they'd be more successful. They weren't part of the government per se, but I'm just saying they thought there's anti-Semitism or things like that. Would that be like the Shitas Rambam or?
Great question. It's a very good question.
The end goal is not necessarily per se I want to be like them. It's more I want to.
Yeah. You want to defend yourself. You want to just so you want to protect yourself. And that's not. I'm not doing it to be moti myself. I do it because I want to be killed.
Right.
Very good question. I don't know. From Tosfos, it sounds like across the board. It says by definition, chukas akum, you're being motzi atzma michla yisrael, regardless of your intention. But you're making a great point. I don't know. I'm not sure how to explain that. Very good. Okay, we'll do one last point and just say outside just to. Within Chukas Akum now, this idea of being Moti Atzmo versus not being Moti Atzmo, there's a three-way machlokas about which goyim can we not compare ourselves to. So according to the Sefer Yireim, he says the Isser only applies to the Shiva Amimim, the seven nations of in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. Only those seven nations outside of that won't be a problem. It's a special din in the Shiva Amimim. I'm not sure the Suar for that, but that was based on the Gzeres HaKasef. According to the Sefer Chinuch, he says no. All nations that are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But if they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the Muslims, according to the Chinuch and according to the certainly Sefer Yireim, you're allowed to be medam with them. But according to the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Aleph, he says that you can't be medam to any goyim as well, even if they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And this is the Rambam l'shitasa, because if the Rambam understands the whole nature of Chukas Akum is about being moti atzma michlaisel, so we don't care which goy you're being madame, whether it's Shiva Amim, whether it's Ovdei Avodah Zarah, whether it's Shar Amim, anything that's moti atzmo michlaisel, that would be violation of Chukas Akum. And there's an interesting nafkamina. The poskim talk about which types of practices of Chukas Akum would be aser. Is it only that which is their religion? Or let's say they have certain minhagim. So I don't know enough about them, what they do, but I don't know. Let's say, Thanksgiving, let's say. Okay, let's assume Thanksgiving is not based on Avodah Zarah. That's a big discussion. Supposedly in Europe it very much is. That's where it originated from. In America it's not a day of Avodah Zarah. It's a minhag that they do. Let's assume that that's how they do it in America. So now would it be usher to celebrate Halloween and Thanksgiving? And no, I was thinking Halloween. I'm confusing the two now. Let's do Thanksgiving, Halloween. Those two together. Let's say they're just minhagim. What they do funny things. They dress up and then they do pumpkins. Are you allowed to do that or not? Is that a violation? So the answer would be, depends. If you say Chukas Akum is only over the Avodah Zarah issues, well, this is not Avodah Zarah. But if you say it's minhagim, anything that they do would be subject to the Isser, so then it would be us to celebrate days like Thanksgiving and days like Halloween. But Thanksgiving is very different. That's a different discussion. It may not even be considered a minhag of the Christians. It might just be a way of expressing a kasha tov to the malchus. Right? We give a bracha to the malchus we live in. So the Thanksgiving might be just giving a bracha to the malchus. It may not even be a violation of Chukas Akum, but Halloween would be a better example, I believe.
The
understanding simply, since you just says Ovdei Kochavim, the word Ovdei Kochavim, he says Ein Hochin Bechukas Ovdei Kochavim, that's just used even for Goyim in general.
Right.
It doesn't specify Ovdei Avodah Zarah like the others do. It may not be clear cut. Rav Asher Weiss does make this hara. He thinks that it implies all Goyim across the board, simply by the fact that he doesn't limit it to anyone. And he goes on to explain that you want to be separate from them, you should be muvdal, bimado, b'deosav, and that wouldn't seem to make a difference whether they're Ovdei Avodah Zarah or not. Let's just finish with one last piece about a little bit about the deeper pnimius of the connection between Bris Milah and Tefillin. I'm of course learning about Bris Milah all summer and how Tefillin connects to that. So there's a Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Amud Beis, which tells us that one day Abaye was extremely overjoyed. He was filled with sasa, the Gemara says. And Rabba was very disturbed by this behavior because he says, the Pasuk tells us in Tehillim, it should be gila, virada. Gila means simcha, virada means to be fearful, trembling. So you can't be so besasan. How come you're so excited? You have to balance it out. It can't be too sasan. And the response from Abai is that, I can't help myself because I'm wearing tefillin. So what does it mean? He's wearing tefillin, so he's able to be so full of simcha, besasan. So a very interesting grad there in the Gemara Brachos, he explained The idea of tefillin and sason is because the tefillin shirosh, which we've been discussing, has two shins, which is sas. Sasanochi, sason. And he explains that what the simcha of a sason is a sason of two opposites come together. The shin on the top, on the right, has three branches, and the other shin has four branches. So that's Gimel and Dalet. And that the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Gimel and Dalet is Gomel Dalem. Gomel is to give to the Dal, those who are poor. And when two opposites come together, Mashbia and Makabel, that creates Sasam. That's why there are three also Gimel Avos and four is Dalet Imaos. Come together, you have a Sasam. Two opposites come together. And that's why the Gemara says we clap. Right and left is two opposites coming together. Clapping is when there's Sasam. Two opposites come together. That's what the nature of Tefillin is. That's why you had a Chasen as well. When two opposites come together, Chasen and Kal, who are very opposite, they get married. So that tells us we say Sasan to all. Sasan to all. Shever Bracha is all saying Sasan, Vesimcha, Sasan, Sasan, Sasan. Because Sasan always represents when two opposites come together. So Bris Mila, as we learned last year, Lahutim Ha'is Or Vesimcha Vesasan V'Ikar. Rav Brachos, rather Megillah, tells us Sasan Zutfilm. Why? Because Sasan Ochi Al Mesecha. Sas is also, or rather Bris Mila, Sasan is Bris Mila. So the idea is that all these things, that Sason is Bris Milah, Sason is Tefillin, and Sason is Achasen, because all three of them connect. Because when a person's born, Bris Milah, there's Sason. Next level is a Bris Milah, there's a more Sason. And then Achasen is another Sason. So it really works, really Achasen. The first thing is Chasna, there's a Sason and Achasen. Two opposites come together. A Bris Milah is a manifestation of that Chasana, so it's furthering the Sus. And when that boy goes up to fulfill mitzvahs and wears tefillin, that's even a greater manifestation of the initial Sason of the Chasana. So from the Chasana of the Sason, to the Bris Milah to the Sason, to the tefillin Sason, and then again to the Chasana, that whole circle of life is all one big Simcha, one Sason. And that's why the Sason, the Shin, is on the tefillin Sharosh, which is the Kether, the crown. The shin is shaped like a crown. If you look at it, it really looks like a crown. The shin's a crown. And the crown that we wear is the tefillin sharosh, which we also know that Bris Milah and a chasen as well. The chasen is domel melech. Melech wears a crown. And the Gemara's talk about the crowns that the kalas we wear as well. And also the Bris Milah is called an atara. It's called the crown, the keser. So these three places of the sason, the two shins coming together, have to do with crowns as well, crowning a person king. So a person fulfills the mitzvah of tefillin, a person fulfills the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and the mitzvah of chasna, that crowns a Jew, a filled with a keser shel sason. We should all be zocha to continue with shmiras bris and shmiras the shalom bayis and the tefillin. All those are gufnaki, be zocha to sason v'simcha.